Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
And take heed, take heed. You know, I found that that expression was used in the New Testament several times. Several times. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. You know, and I wondered why that expression occurred again and again. At least 28 times. You could say even 30 times, but because of the particular ones I'm talking about. Several take heed. And I know that that word, take heed, is a warning. Take heed. It is a warning. Be careful. Caution. Take heed. Take heed. So let's look at a few of them. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus said, take heed that you not give your alms before men, to be seen of men. Perhaps one of the most important ones, maybe I would like to start with this one, maybe I shouldn't start with the one of Matthew, is the one that Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock. So there are two take heeds there. And here he's talking to ministers. He's talking to ministers. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. But I want you to observe the order. He said, take heed therefore unto yourself. So there are two take heeds there. First to yourself, next to the flock. But the first that must come is to take heed to yourself. And it comes to this, brothers and sisters. You are responsible for your spiritual life. You are responsible for your spiritual health. You are responsible for your spiritual well-being. He said, take heed, therefore, to yourselves. If there's any place you must put yourself first, your spiritual life. Take heed to yourself. Take heed. Your spiritual life is in your hands. You are totally responsible for your spiritual life. He said, take heed therefore to yourselves. So, no matter what you do in the house of God, no matter your service in the house of God, no matter your responsibility in the house of God, your primary assignment is to take heed to yourself. They say you can force a horse or a goat or a ram to the stream, but you cannot force it to drink. It is its responsibility to drink. We can pour water in your mouth. You choose to swallow it or not. Your spiritual life is your responsibility. Take heed therefore to yourself and to the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Again, like I said earlier, this word, take heed to yourself, occurred again and again and again and again. The apostles gave instructions several times. They gave instructions. And the instructions they gave could be followed by the disciples or could be rejected by them. You are responsible for your prayer life. Take heed to yourself. You are responsible for how you eat, how you feed on the word. You are responsible for the things you digest. You are responsible for the quality of spiritual meal that you feed. You are responsible. Take heed to yourself. And that's interesting. So I'm checking what's the meaning of take heed. It is to beware. It is to be warned. It is to be careful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, Paul warns again. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Let him that standeth take heed. Listen to me. I wrote an article sometime on Facebook some 2 years ago, and I believe it's still very valid. I said, be careful. Anybody can slip. Anybody can fall. Anybody can backslide. Anybody can lose fervency. Anybody can fall into sin. There is no sin or activity of the flesh that no matter how a spiritual giant you are not capable of doing. Are you getting what I'm telling you? There is no heights you get to that you stop watching yourself. There is no height you get to that you stop watching your back. There is no height you get to that the take heed warning is no longer applicable to you. So he says, take heed. If you are not doing what you ought to do to take heed that you remain standing, you will fall. If you don't protect your heart, offense will catch up with you. Every one of us have a responsibility to determine what we think about. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. He said, whatever be just, whatever be of good report, whatever be good, whatever be true, he said several things. He said, think on these things. Your responsibility. Paul write to the Thessalonians. He said, warn them that are unruly. Again, your responsibility. Every believer must take responsibility for his life. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Jesus talking to Peter, one of his closest disciples. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith faint not, that it fail not. And when you are converted, when you are restored, go and help your brethren. See, it has to be you first. Then you go and help others. Peter, Satan has desire to sift you as wheat. And let me tell you, Peter, once again, he said, beware your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking for whom to devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. It's your responsibility to protect your heart from falling into error. It's your responsibility to protect your heart from falling into offense. It's your responsibility to protect your own heart from getting contaminated. Watch yourself. It's your responsibility to ensure you are praying, sir. It's your responsibility to ensure you are feeding on the word. Listen, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter where you, what church you are. If you don't feed on the word, sir, you will grow cold. If you don't pray, you will grow cold. And your spiritual dryness will not be blamed on the church. Wake up! Your spiritual life is in your hand. He said, take heed to yourself. What is the church for? The church is to teach you the things you must do. To train you how to walk in righteousness. To give you the word of God. How to, you know, to give you, you know, help you so that you carry the whole armor of God. So that you hold up the shield of faith by which you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And who told you the devil will not... See, when we talk about the fiery darts of the wicked, we think it is material things. Those things are part of it. Those things are part of it. But much more than that, the fiery darts of Satan is not primarily your health. Your attacking your health is a means to an end. I'll tell you the end in a moment. The fiery darts of the enemy is not focused on attacking your finance. Whether you have money or you don't have money, it has no eternal effect. The attacking your finance is a means to an end. You got to know what the devil is really targeting. When Satan attacked Job's finances, attacked Job's health, what was his real target? Who knows? Who remembers the story? What was his real target? He said, he had already said, watch what I will do to him. If I take away all these things you have given to him, let's see if he will not curse you to your face. The goal is not your money. The goal is not your health. The goal is your faith. The goal, the attack of the devil, is so that you will throw in the towel. The real attack is on your character. The real attack is what you will do. The challenges you are experiencing is a means to an end. Did you hear what I said? That you are pressed on every side is a means to an end. Satan is intending to throw you off balance, the balance with God. What Jesus said about Peter? He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. See, what does that mean? You know what it means? By what Jesus did. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. So the sifting as wheat will happen when his faith fails. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. The devil is attacking your virtue. He's attacking your character. He's attacking your faith. He's attacking your faithfulness. He's attacking the foundation of the things you believe and the things you stand for. Not the troubles you are experiencing. He's attacking to throw you off balance in the house of God. That's what he's after. That's what the devil is after. Take heed, therefore. Take heed, therefore. Watch yourself. Watch your prayer life. Watch the kind of news you listen to. You can turn on your TV, go on the internet, and all you see is bad news. Economy is going terrible. The price of fuel is going high. Your faith is being attacked. You look in the news, you see one Christian who has, you know, resigned the faith and say, I'm no longer a Christian, now I'm Muslim. Say, ah, he God. All those are seeds. He's attacking your faith. You turn to the news, you hear, hey, man of God, scandal. You say, oh God, attacking your faith again. Take heed the things you swallow. Take heed the things you allow to settle in your hearts. Take heed, for if that thing is producing in you faithlessness, it is not of God. If that thing is producing in you to question everything you have thought, it is not of God. If that thing is shaking your faith in God, if that thing makes you doubt the local assembly, if that thing makes you lose your faith in your service to God, if that thing makes you give up and throw in the towel, they are robbing you of your faith. And that's a real attack. And you need to wake up. This is a war. The devil is after your soul. The things, and you know, we easily get distracted by the smoke screen. And that's what the devil does. The devil is a master at it, creating a distraction, creating a smoke screen. And you think that's the issue? That is not the issue. You are the target. Brother so-so and so offended me in church. Sister so-so and so offended me in church. You think that's the target? No, that's not the target. You are the target. Your heart is the target. The devil wants to get you into a place when you come to church, you see the brother so-so and so, you lose your peace. You lose your concentration. You can no longer listen to the word. You can no longer lift up holy hands and worship because your heart is scattered. You are angry. You are offended. That's what the devil wants to achieve. You are the target. Take heed to yourself. Take heed. Take heed. Do you know one of the reasons the scriptures tell us to forgive one another? Perhaps you should look at it. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God. And I'll read from verse. If you understand how Ephesians is written, you observe that Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 talks about the things which we have in Christ. That were, you know, there is your position and there is your condition. Alright? Two realities. We live in two worlds. There is your position in Christ. That's what the scripture says about you. It's clear. It's what Jesus has done and it is your reality now in Christ, in the Spirit. But then there is your position. That is your experience in life. Whether you are walking in what Christ has done for you or not. Alright? Where did I say she opened to? Chapter what? No, chapter 4, sorry. So, in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, it talks about your position. But then, from chapter 4, 5, and 6, he begins to address your condition. Praise the Lord. Look at chapter 4. So he starts, verse 24. That you put on the new man. Put on the new man. He already told you that you're already a new man in Christ. Now he says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25. Wherefore put away lying, speak the truth. Every man speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let your wrath, persist for long. Your anger. Neither, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So can you see he puts the responsibility on you? Don't give the devil a place. Alright? In the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. It's your responsibility. Alright? He says, give no place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Are you paying attention? Verse 29, what does he say? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what is corrupt communication? You know what is corrupt communication? Corrupt communication is any conversation that does not glorify the other. it corrupts the heart of the other person. Anything that blights the person's vision of another is corrupt communication. So don't do it. Don't let what we make somebody see another person wrongly come out of your mouth. All right? He says, rather, the one which is good to the use of edifying, rather build people. Build your hearers. You see that? That he may minister grace to your hearers. What is grace? Grace is that ability to serve God. So when you finish speaking to that person, the person is much motivated to do more for the Lord. It ministers grace. Not it will demoralize the person. Can you see that? Now it now says, and grieve, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Now he says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I want to ask you, do you know why he said forgiving one another? Because you'll be offended. Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to hurt you. And that's just a clear fact. In the church of Jesus Christ, somebody's going to hurt you. Either knowingly or unknowingly. Sometimes they don't even know what they did. You know, you can carry things in your heart against somebody and the person is not even aware. You see that? That's why he says forgiving one another. So you see, so he continues into the next chapter in verse 1 and says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Hallelujah. You observe again how this is your responsibility. He says, do it. Do it. Forgiving one another. You got an issue, clear the air. Seek peace. And forget it. Move on. Why? Because you have to watch over your soul. Protect your heart. Protect your mind. Protect your soul. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to the ministry of the Word of God. Give yourself wholeheartedly to the service of God. And look to no man. This thing is about Jesus, not about any man. Focus on him and serve him. We know too much. We want to know too much. We pay attention to the things we ought not to pay attention to. Many of us have become too petty. Too petty. We're offended by things that should not offend. There's a better way. Watch over your own spiritual life. Watch yourself. If you don't feed your heart, you will fall into sin. You will. You mess up. You mess things up. You walk in the flesh. You will walk in the flesh. So he wants, take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15. In fact, if you read it from verse 14, it says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, and in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Take heed. Paul wrote to Archippus, wrote to the church in Colossae, and told them to, you know, give an instruction to Archippus in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 16, it says, and when this epistle is read among you, because it was supposed to be read in the church, it's a cause that it also be read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So it's possible not to fulfill your ministry. Take heed. Pay attention to your ministry. All right? Give attention to your ministry. Take heed to your ministry, which you have received of the Lord. Ensure that you fulfill it. So we are all responsible to take heed to ourselves and to take heed to the ministry that he has committed to us. In 1 Timothy, Paul again warns his son Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look right there at verse 16. He said, take heed. Okay, start from verse 15. Start from verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You pay attention to it. You see that? Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. See that? Verse 16. Take heed unto yourself, and unto the doctrine. The same thing he wrote to them in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He said, take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed to yourself. Just the way your salvation was personal. You know, we can come here and preach the gospel, can preach the word of God, and a person sitting here can be getting blessed. God can be speaking to that one. The next person by his side is distracted. He's not listening. He's not paying attention. Nothing is entering. Each of them are responsible. They are hearing the same word. The effect is different. They are hearing the same word. The effect is different. I've told the story several times. I was in a church as a youth, where people were having relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, all kinds of things going on. I had no idea. It's not like I didn't know. I had no idea such things were going on. I stayed there for years. I was growing. I was a very, come to church, hear the word, participate. Every instruction, I follow it. Like, I don't understand why anybody will think, I'm doing the thing full-heartedly, wholeheartedly. I was not hearing. I didn't know who was quarreling. I didn't know who was sleeping with anybody. I didn't know anybody that was doing anything. I was just very focused. It took after I had left the church. I had left pastoring. Did you know that so-and-so was going on? I didn't know. Did you know so-and-so? I didn't know. I was totally unaware. I was oblivious. That's how a Christian is supposed to so focus. Some people listen too much to what is this, what is that, that their faith is choked and they become unusable. Everybody. You know, Paul was writing to them, he says, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians. Let me see if I can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. And every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles who know not God. Then he says, you know, let's jump to verse 11 because of time. Okay, let me take him from verse 10. Let me take him from verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not I write unto you, for yourselves know you are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which were in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And that you study to be quiet and to mind your own business and to do your own and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And that you walk honestly toward them that are without. Don't dupe people. You know, don't go and dupe. Praise the Lord. When I knew there was a problem was when I heard when a pastor duped an allergy. See, this is a big problem. I mean, he says, walk honestly with those that are outside. You see that? He said that you study to be quiet and to mind your own business. Mind your own business. What's your business? Your spiritual life. Focus on it. What's your business? Your prayer life. Oh, this couple, the husband cheated. And his Insta blog carried it. These people carried it. This one carried it. That you study to be quiet and to mind your business. Mind your business. Everything doesn't concern you. Everything is not a business. We dissipate energy in things that is not your business. And we lose focus on our own business. Mind your business. Focus on your own spiritual life. Focus on your own spiritual growth. Focus on your own spiritual well-being. And let others focus on their own too. You check your life. How much have you grown in the last 6 months? How is your prayer life in the past 6 months? Do you listen to the teachings? How have you been listening? Do you ever take the messages and listen to them on your own? Do you go to YouTube, go to Mixlr, go to Telegram, or ask for the link and go and check the messages there and listen and be blessed afresh? Or are you going to be cloud your mind with things that don't concern you? Mind your business. Oh, she cooked for 100 hours. We thought she's a Christian. Oh, she's even a Christian. Look at her dressing. Mind your business. That's not the gospel. You don't make her life your matter, and that's what you're carrying on your head. Mind your own business. It's your own spiritual life that is the issue here. Satan is after you. You. Forget about the stories of what is happening to who. It is you the devil is after. He's the adversary of your soul. You better focus so that you don't get swept away. Hallelujah. When you wake up every morning, your first business is to pray. Pray. Receive grace for the day. Pray. Give yourself to prayer. Develop a conscience that will tell you, come back here. You can't just get out of the house. Develop a policy. No prayer, no breakfast. Make yourself do it. You can't continue living like this. If you're not giving attention to prayer, you can't continue like this. Interestingly, your wife's prayer will not come. Your wife's prayer is not your prayer. Your husband's prayer is not your prayer. Your son's prayer is not your prayer. Your wife, your daughter's prayer is not your prayer. Your father's prayer is not your prayer. Your mother's prayer is not your prayer. Should I say more? Your pastor's prayer is not your prayer. Should I add more? The church's prayer is not your prayer. Unless you are praying. You can only receive from the crumbs of the benefit of prayer from other people. Everybody can be praying for you. Huh? Their faith is what will work for you. But guess what? Before their faith works for you, it is their faith. You know what I just said? They are the ones that just developed the faith. It is their faith. They only used it for you. What you got is a crumb. Because it is their prayer. Listen, the first beneficiary of any prayer is the prayee. Sorry, the prayer. The prayer. It's the person who prayed. He's the first person that benefits from his prayer. Even if he's praying for America, even if he's praying for Togo, even if he's praying for Katsina, the first beneficiary of praying is the person who prayed the prayer. The person who prayed the prayer gets the greater benefit, even if he didn't pray for himself. Because the benefit of prayer is not just in what you are praying about, but in the fact that you prayed. Glory to God. So therefore, take it to yourself. Take it to yourself. Pray. We can pray for you,
but you must also pray.
You must also pray your own prayer. We cannot know the word of God for you. We cannot know God. We can pray for you, but we cannot know God for you. The best we can do is to teach you the word of God. Praise the Lord. Give yourself. Take it personal. Give yourself spiritual things. Stop being a spiritual hitchhiker, as I explained last week. So ask yourself, am I praying? What times do I pray? How frequent do I pray? Do I read my Bible? Do I listen to the teachings? What about my heart? What is the condition of my heart? These things are very important. Amen? And I encourage you today to treat them as important, because they are. Bow heads and talk to the Lord.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.